Hello guys, this is Alvin. Welcome back to Are You Okay Podcast, a podcast where we use our voices and hopefully to inspire you to use yours too. Speaking of strong voices, we have an expert in the music industry. She is the first ever female managing director of Universal Music Malaysia. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming despite your busy schedule. So the thing is, I know Kim for the longest time lah, because she was the one that signed me into Universal Music. And back then, I think we worked together quite often, right? Yeah. When you were still, I think, general manager?
I was a business development director.
Director already.
Yes.
So, but we had a really, really small team back then.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you still remember?
One man show. Although the company is big, but I think the department where I start up is only by myself because I think there's things I want to do, or there's a vision I want, which may not be aligned with the company's than the vision. So I rather work by myself first. Mm-hmm. Then you came to the picture. I remember the first time someone told me, oh, you should look into Alvin Chong. So I went to Insta. I said, oh, not bad. This guy looked not bad. Then he said, oh, it's Malay market. It's actually quite bad. Quite not bad for us to actually
explore.
Talk to him.
Yeah.
But I remember you didn't want to see us.
No, before you, the other department's people approached me twice. So they offered me the contract. I knew, because I was signed with other management before. And back then, when I met you, I was independent, so I managed everything by myself. So when they offered me the contract, when I looked at the contract, I knew it was bullshit, because most of the stuff I can do it by myself. And there was a clause, like a few clauses now, which I disagree, and I told them, if you want to work with me, you have to change it. And then they got back to me and told me it's impossible to change. So for me, there's no reason to work together, ma, right? Because we cannot agree on certain stuff.
Yeah, so the basic terms.
The third time when they say like, oh, there's actually another person wanting to meet you from our company, I was like, again, they already knew I won't sign. Right? Like, why go through like all the hustle and go and meet again? And then initially, I didn't want to come because I knew it's going to be the same thing, because they already told me it's not possible to do anything about it. And then they keep like telling me, like, you have to come this time, like this one last time. Okay, I went. So when I see you, I don't know whether you still remember that, but my face was like...
You mean the Lancy look? Yes.
The Lancy look, yeah. I mean, I already knew it, because I already been here twice.
But then in my mind, I was like, I thought I'm more Lancy than him, but okay.
So I topped you on the Lancy thing like that back then. So when we talk, I felt like the vibe is different once we start talking, because you were very straightforward. You said like, oh, how come you don't want to work with us? Then I told you all the stuff.
So my side of the story is, I try to have this meeting with you, and I said, oh, you know, at that time I was managing other artists, and I said, I need a male artist, and that's why your profile pop up. And then they tell me, oh, we already met him twice, we already talked to him twice, but he rejected us. I'm like, why would they reject us? So I said to them, let's set a meeting. That's when I actually say I was going to meet you, and they say, oh, but he's shooting in somewhere. And he said, unless I go there for the meeting, I said, no, he's going to come to the office on the meeting. And that was why the meeting. But I can feel the tense when we first met.
Yeah.
And of course, I knew exactly what I wanted to propose to you and what we can try to do at that point of time.
Yeah.
And this was like probably 7 years ago or 8 years ago.
End of 2016. By the time we signed, it's already 2017.
Yeah.
So it's been 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3. Oh, 7 years already.
Yes, you see.
Time flies.
I did the calculation. Yes.
Now look at you.
I'm still a baby, but yes.
You're
in the industry.
So yeah, so we've been through quite a lot, because I still remember back then we pitched campaigns with client together. One of the brand is, don't want to mention any brand, but it's a mobile phone brand. You remember exactly what happened?
Yes.
Because Kim can understand Chinese, and the client is like very Chinese oriented, right? They only speak Chinese most of the time. And then like halfway through, she looked at me, I looked at her. Then we were like pitching together. And then client wasn't really buying the idea of our first proposal. And then when we look at each other, we quickly switch it on the spot and then change the whole proposal to their liking, which eventually we got the project out, which is very, very good. Because for me as a person, I feel like I'm not just an artist myself. I also feel like I have to know how to present myself in front of clients. And thanks to Kim, I also learned a lot, like how to upgrade myself in terms of presenting myself to other people. And then we've been through a lot, lah. But this time around, we want to get into the topic of today's topic, which is the topic that she chose herself. Which I can totally relate because I felt the same for myself most of the time, actually my entire life. So we're gonna talk about imposter syndrome. For those of you who don't know what imposter syndrome is, it's a behavior or an attitude where you feel like you're not good enough for most of the stuff, even though people have been telling you have been doing a great job, you have shown result, like excellent results, but you still feel like you're not up for it or like you don't deserve it. So why chose this topic?
I think to start with is first, I agree to being a guest itself is quite a miracle, simply because I think the purpose of this podcast is meant to be able to share our voice and thoughts and also to inspire a lot of industry players or the newcomers in the industry. And I think we are just lack of all this type of knowledge and also awareness. So what we wanted to say is about imposter syndrome is simply because besides as a celebrity or as a human being or even a position like mine who has been in the industry for a long time, I feel everybody just need to understand everybody experienced that in whatever level. And that's why when I brought that subject up, I said I don't mind sharing it because it's a common I would say behavior that a lot of people may seems to forget or may seems to ignore or sweep under the carpet to say that, oh, I'm actually completely okay. But it's not. So I volunteered myself
Volunteer for tribute.
to actually talk about this topic because I think it's a common topic that a lot of people tend to ignore. A lot of people like to talk about being depressed and all these things, but what they forget is this is actually one of the, I mean, depression is also one of the symptoms when you get too serious about it because you will start thinking about you feeling not up to it or you feeling that it's too much responsibility, you feeling that, you know, the position is given to you.
Burden is too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of people you have to be responsible with besides your own family, your own career. Now you're talking about the whole company. So there's a lot of thoughts that goes behind it. And even me myself experienced it several times in life that I think I'm, you know, I a lot of times you need verification, whether verification for people that you work closely with or whether with your staff or even sometimes with your boss. But to pass your own self, the blue tick of your verification is actually very tough. So I just want to share that knowledge and also to share the experience. That's why we chose this topic.
Okay, like when did you realize you have this symptoms? Like ever since you joined the industry or like new business or when you got the
So
role?
when I joined the industry, there wasn't much of that because you technically don't think about it because you just go with the flow. It's all about you, yourself, and yourself. You what you like, what you know, basically I was dealing with promo exec in the music industry. So every day you just ongoing and activities just continue to pile up. You don't think that much. You start having that thoughts is when you becomes a department head.
Okay, so when we met now.
Not yet. At that time, not yet, right? So, I mean, even earlier stage, besides working on your own, then you start to work having a team members. Then whatever you do, it will impact the department, it will impact the team members and stuff like that. Then you start to have that additional responsibility. That is also, long story short, I actually put a stop to the industry, and I came out and work on my own. Mm. So that is also the reason to it. Why? Because I feel it's too much responsibility for me, because whatever I behave today, it will impact the people around me, whether it's the departments or whether the company. So then I start feeling a lot to do with heavy responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I just got married, and I also just have my baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things becomes additional responsibility that I don't think I can handle it. And then I put a stop, and I put a pause to the industry, and I start my own business and all this for one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Then I mentioned earlier that when I started Universal in the company, which is about 10 years ago, again, I told them, I want a position that I can work by myself, which is then is the new business. And I keep on emphasizing this, that I started working alone is because of that factor, that I feel if any problem is my full responsibility, if I F up in the business, it's my responsibility. Mm. So I also started with, because I keep on saying my vision of what I want to do with the industry is very different, and I'd rather be the one that fully responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do well, it's myself rather than it involve everybody else, because everybody's reason in the job is very different compared to mine. So I started the development by myself. So then I signed the first artist.
Mm.
The first artist, she told me exactly what she needed, and I told her exactly what I can deliver, and that's how we actually work. Mm. So you are the second artist that I signed.
Yeah.
And I also always say one of my success stories is because we both can understand each other very well on how we want to move forward, how we want to deal with our career.
Mm-hmm.
What strike me is you are one of those kind of artists that know exactly what you want. You will work hard for it. And because of the history of your childhood, you kind of also take that as a strength to yourself of how you move forward. And you will then understand. And you also have faced that kind of issue that sometimes you tell me, Kim, I don't think I'm cut out for it. Mm. Or you say, oh, maybe I can't do this. So that also remind me of myself. This don't just work on as a celebrity. Even as a corporate leader, when you grow, it will be the same. As a department head, I felt the same. My responsibility is very much depending on now my artists and my staff.
Mm.
So it got into a lot more worse is when my boss that time left, they told me, okay, Kim, I think this is the time you're going to be the MD. That was the biggest time that I keep on thinking to myself, do I think I can do it or not?
Mm.
I question myself, I question my ability, even though I know I've had years of experience, I know I want this, but I also get very worried because now I said, okay, look around. Now I have 10 artists that's in my hand. I have 60 people's butter and bread and also their career in my hand, whether can I make it or not. Also, it doesn't help when you're just being the first female in the industry as an MD also doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things becomes, I would say, worrying. I get anxious. I get sweat in my hand. And then it took me whole night to think about whether I want to take the job or not. So let alone about what's the benefits and all this. It's more of the responsibility.
And whether you can pull it off.
Whether I can pull it off is one thing. Whether I can bring the company to the next level is another thing. I think a lot of people can always take up the job. I always say, the job given to you, you can always take it up. But whether you can sustain the job is another thing. And you're able to bring the team up to another level is another another level of thoughts behind that, strategy behind that you need to work on. A lot of things got to do with gambles. A lot of things got to do with your vision, and you have to believe in your vision, because the vision that you put in is going to be something no one has done it before. Mm-hmm. If they have done it, you are not going to be the first. If you're not going to be the first, there's no difference between you as a company leader versus others. So that's why I think this is a very important topic to actually share, and it's a real life experience that to take up the role as a managing director, of course, everybody celebrate about it, but no one knew behind the scene that it took me a long time to decide whether I take it or not.
Mm. So I feel like me and Kim had this very same one similarity where we like to do things where no one else has ever done it before. Like we like to challenge ourselves. And whenever we start something new, right? Something really never happened in the company before, in the industry itself. People always questions like, this is not the way this is not how the industry works. Like, this is not the way, and blah 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 blah. But when we make it or when we have result, people will be like, oh, we should start doing more of this. Like even this podcast itself, I heard what I heard is like no major labels are willing to do podcasts except us. So we were one of the very first ones to say like, hey, we are willing to do it. And also I have to say I'm very grateful that I signed with Universal Music is because even though I have some crazy ideas, but you guys always give me the full support or at least give me a chance to prove myself whether I can pull it off. So this is something I really treasure lah. And another thing is the another thing I want to talk about is how do you counter your feelings when you're having this syndromes? Like what do you do? Like for me, I'll go for a holiday for sure. Everyone knows already.
So go back to the decision of being an MD. Everybody will laugh about this now. I didn't get verification from my parents because I think since young, the decision has always been mine, as in like which uni I go, what school I go to, what level of education, which course I'm going to take is all my decision. So being an MD, to be honest, my parents still don't know. They still think that I sell CD most of the time. They don't even know how big the company I run. They only know that, oh yeah, the company,
Work at
hey,
music
okay,
label,
you work,
we know.
yeah. So they ask me, who's your boss? I say, my boss is in Singapore. So that's about it. They really don't know. They will never imagine, actually. Until one day they see me in stage, they see my press release and say, oh, you're actually quite big in the position. I say, I kind of think so. So for me to get that verification was not easy. Again, I can't go back to my ex-boss and tell them like, hey, you think I can do it or not? Because I keep on saying, even if I'm going to do it, I need to do it in a way that no one has done it before. I need to visualize what I want to take the company in the next 5 years, who are people I can actually work with and push the limit. So I actually went to Theta Healing to actually get a verification.
Really, yeah.
Yes. So Theta Healing was one of those, because with Theta Healing, again, it is something that no one has done it before. A lot of people don't know what it is. It is actually a form of fortune teller to actually let you see your future. At the same time, lets you see your past. If you can actually move forward. Yeah, this is not very scientific.
But what was the process? Because this is
Yeah,
actually the first time I've
so
heard
the
of
process is pretty much like you go into meditation
it.
and you are able to go into that zone, and then you start asking your own self. You have this, they call it higher self, that you can ask yourself that do you think this is something you can do? Because your higher self is the one that's most pure, that will know exactly who you really want to be. Today, there's a lot of levels in our own self as well. I may tell you something, but deep inside, actually, your subconscious has different mindset. But higher self don't lie to yourself, so you pretty much tell yourself the truth. And at that time, you see, so the kind of medium I go to is because I was thinking, there's no other way I would tell or ask myself whether I can make it or not, unless myself, which then I asked myself. At that time, I said to myself that, do you think I can make it? So apparently I see myself as someone that will be able to lead a tribe, and that is when I feel, okay, let's do this.
As
And
simple as that.
as simple as that. But that helps me to stabilize my mindset, and that helps me to know how I want to move forward. I think, fast forward, it's already 2 years into the job. I think if, let's say, a year ago, if you were to ask me, I still will tell you I'm not sure. But I think 2 years in the job, I feel I am eligible to actually share that I believe we have. I'm able to do what other company has not been able to do as a lead, company leader, and able to lead the team. Yeah. So to counter it, I always say, you need to believe in yourself first. So my way of countering is not holidays, is to talk to my inner self. And that moment is very hard because they will tell you the truth. Sometimes it comes out a decision that you feel that you actually is not true, and you will tend to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why to get into that space is not easy. So I actually go into that space. If you see sometimes when I'm too stressed, I need to go to a meditation. It's because I need to talk to my inner self to know exactly I can do it or not.
So within these 2 years of you being MD of Universal Music Malaysia, like how often do you meditate?
Oh, I actually try to practice it quite often. I wake up very early simply because I need to set my mind correct in terms of how I'm going to move forward. But there's days that I get really clouded with decision.
Mm-hmm.
I will lie if I say everybody tell me, oh, it's easy going. There's no such thing called easy going. Every decision is very tough decision to make, because one wrong decision can cost a lot of things, whether mm-hmm. the company or
the people around
the artist's
you,
yeah. career, right? So I usually try to do it in a very clear mind to be able to move forward. So I try to meditate as often as possible.
Mm.
Unless I party too hard, then I can't do it the next morning. But other than that... Mm.
Lies. You don't party anymore.
No, I do. But when I do, I think there's some website caught me partying, but yes.
We're in the music industry or in the entertainment industry. There's no wrong with partying.
Yeah, but so, I think music industry, if a lot of people would know, I feel in those days, it's a lot easier than now. I feel now it's a lot more challenging.
Challenging in what sense? Like because of social media or because of...
Yeah, it's because the audience behavior has changed a lot more and a lot more complicated. People get influenced very much in a lot more medium.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike those days, if the song becomes a hit in radio, you actually will then be able to influence the teenager, and the teenager will be able to talk to the friend. Mm. But in nowadays space, it's not. It's all about trendsetter, and it's also all about individual mindset. I may not be easily influenced by another friend, and I want to be the one that is influencing my friend. So everybody wants to be an influencer.
Yeah,
that's why it turns out everybody is their own business. Everybody is having their own mindset. Everybody is having their own podcast.
So including me. Including me.
No, it's not including you. That's why you have a company to support you.
So that
we can keep the conversation relevant, right?
Relevant.
Yes.
Yeah. But to put a point to this, right? Because I have another session with another podcast host, and she was surprised that we actually have like a big team behind this. Like she was very happy for me because everything is done very proper, including like scheduling, lighting.
No, because that's what you used to say to me, that, oh, in my contract, I want this, I want that. But then after that, you say, I can do it on my own. I say, you can't do it on your own because it doesn't work like that. But I think it's all about the timing.
But I have to say, like back then when we first met, comparing both.
You were doubting my capability too, right?
I mean, to be fair,
To be fair,
we have a few failed encounters before along the way.
Yes.
Which we work past it and we grow from it. And because like finding the right team is not easy.
Yes.
And people come and go, like especially in the corporate world, even in Universal Music, even though it's a fun job from the outside, but internally we have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things that people cannot see. Like, for example, like...
The vision is different.
Yeah.
What they want in life is different. What they want to do with the job is different. Some people, it's just purely they wanted it for the salary.
Mm.
Many of us, it's more than the salary. It's all about the passion and all about how much they want to impact the industry or how much they want to bring the knowledge to the industry. I think all those things changes of every individual. So... Yeah, so for you also, yes.
But I can tell that because I've been in a company for 7 years, not too long, not too short also. So I've seen like the people who left, majority of them is because I don't see the passion in their eyes. Like when they deliver whatever assignment that they were given to, it's just like, you know, 我高做工佛, and that's it. And they wouldn't care more. whether it's on the artist itself or on the projects that they were handling. So which is the key point. So for those of you out there, if you want to work in the entertainment industry, the key point is you must have the passion for it.
And commitment.
Yes, commitment, of course. And result.
No, I think result is very much, it comes when you have that two things, passion and commitment. Because once you have a passion, you need to commit yourself to do it. If you don't give your all or your 100% of your commitment, you won't be able to see the result.
Yeah.
I think along the way, you and I both, like you say, yes, we go through a rough patch as well. It's not entirely everything is smooth sailing. It is what everybody's life is all about. But what we need to do is we always learn from it. And then we know how we want to move forward with it. And we improve. And that's how the relationship gets stronger. And I emphasize a lot on long-term plan, sustainability of the plan, rather than a one-time off impact. And then after that, there's nothing else to sustain. So with you, it's the same. We always work on the plan. Whatever that we want to do, podcast, if we were to do it 7 years ago, I don't think it will actually fly versus now. So it is the time that people can actually accept it. So all these things does carry weight. And also once the stars is aligned, I think that's the reason why we are doing it now.
Yeah, the same as, you know, when I was first signed with Universal, I told Kim, I want to release English track. And she put me on hold until 7 years later.
So I didn't say no. I just said, let's wait.
Let's wait. And then 7 years gone by. Every year, I keep asking her no.
So that's why you see how patient you are. That's the proof.
So I had the similar encounters most of the time. Ever since I started working, I would say. Because I always feel like I'm not good enough for most of the stuff. Even if I would say every time when I have to perform or when I have to meet client, I get this like huge butterflies, then my heart starting to get pumping really fast. And then sometimes my hand would just like start shaking. I don't know whether you remember when we were in Vietnam.
Oh, we want to go to Vietnam.
No, when we were in Vietnam for the very first time, I was performing.
Okay.
Performing. Okay, don't laugh. I have to recall. So during the rehearsal, I don't know what happened. And the night before, I couldn't sleep. I think I told you guys about it. And then when we go to the rehearsal, I couldn't even breathe properly. And when I try to sing, no words comes out. Everything was out of tune. And then you told me, it's okay, like, if you cannot do it, we can just cancel it. But at the back of my head, I felt this like huge burden because the team actually offered me a chance for me to perform in Vietnam. And that at that point of the time, it was a huge thing because it's very hard for Malaysian artists, especially like the pop artists, get to perform in other countries.
Yeah.
So I was just like blaming myself all the time for not being able to pull it off. But eventually, thank God, I don't know what happened. Maybe the prayers got answered or something. We managed to put it off. So that kind of feeling, I still have it until now.
Yeah.
The same as, you know, that time when I was performing my new tracks in the office itself, English tracks.
Yeah, it was my mistake. I shouldn't sit in front.
What happened was, okay, I have to let the audience know. What happened was, so I was told that I have to perform two songs that is not released yet. And also, like, I've
for
never
time,
sang
yeah.
it before. And one of the track is, I haven't even recorded it yet. So I have to sing the two songs in front of our own people. It's not just Universal Music Malaysia, you know. It's the whole Southeast Asia, including our big, big boss is there. And then I was like, oh, what am I getting myself into? And stuff like that. So I was performing. Okay, I managed to pull it off and I managed to calm myself down. I went to the stage and start singing. And I was like singing halfway. Suddenly I looked down. Kim was sitting right in front of this first row. And then just like looking at me like this. I got panicked.
This is the time I was thinking, do I leave? If I leave, then he's going to get upset that I leave.
Yeah, I'll probably get more upset.
Yeah, so if I continue to sit, I know he will get panicked. So I'm thinking, what do I do?
I just started to look away. I remember that point of time when I look at her, I forgot some of the lyrics, but I just like slurred it away, so I managed to pull it off also. So these are the things, even though like I've been with the company for so many years, I still get this anxiety attacks, the minor one.
Mild, yeah.
Very mild one every time I have to do something that I've never done it before. When I'm acting, I'm used to it already. So like, there's nothing wrong with it, because even though singing is something that I do it from time to time, but singing a new track,
but there's a difference between singing and acting though. Acting is all behind, that means it's all recorded. Anything happens, they can actually cut. But singing is not. You basically need to charm the audience. It's just pretty much live.
No. I have to explain myself. Acting, if you already got used to it, it's different. But when I first started acting, I have the same problem as well. Especially when you have to act in a new language, like not familiar with.
Yeah.
Also, like with a team that you have never worked before.
Mm.
That also somehow give you different kind of peer pressure. You're pressuring yourself when you cannot deliver the lines, or when you feel like everybody's watching you to deliver the lines, or like some really heavy scene. It's like all the eyes are looking at you. When you cannot pull it off, then people will be like, we have to do it again. Yeah. So imagine that small sigh, like, can make you nervous like hell. Like, but now I feel like I can pull it off better. But when it comes to singing, it's, you know, new language, new audience, some more is the new people sounding, that know about you. So that's somehow there's some peer pressure like comes. So how I prep myself is every time I have this anxiety attack is I take huge heavy breathing, trying to calm myself. Another way is try to warm my body up by doing push-ups. So some of the teams already know, if I get too nervous, I'll just start doing push-ups. Because when your body is warmed up, you most likely...
Blood circulation.
Blood circulation. And also you feel like you're more ready to put... And you're more grounded when you go on stage or doing whatever that you have to do, even presentation. So this is how I deal with my anxiety. How about you?
For me, I still have it, but every time when I have to go up and give a speech, I don't sing, but to give a speech is the same, again, especially during press conference, like all these things is recorded, I can deal with it better, but if let's say I go up on a stage, you say all eyes are looking at you, I don't sing, but then you could also say the wrong thing and things like that. So you need to deliver the message clearly. So that part is quite difficult. I do the same on breathing. But at the same time, I always tell myself three times that I can do this. It's not that difficult. I can do this three times. Then I walk into the stage and present whatever I need to present. But I don't go look around, because in case I find a face that I'm not comfortable with, I'll probably get stuck. So usually when you see me up on the stage, it's a lot more cold versus this way, because someone just made a comment to me yesterday. I just realized it. You can do better with just one-on-one, but with the crowd, you may not. I say, yeah, but that's why I'm not a singer. I'm behind the scene.
Yeah. There's actually some tea behind this story I want to share with you guys. You know, back then when Kim is still in New Business, the head of New Business, every time when her artist releases songs or like have some events, right, require someone from UM to represent, to say a few words, she'll never be the one. Even though we all hope that she'll be the one, she'll be like, no, no, ask other people to do it. So we kind of knew she had this like stage fright thing when it's like you have to give some speech to a crowd. But then she's now the MD of Universal Music Malaysia. She cannot run anymore.
I still run by agenda. Can you skip no speech from me?
Still trying.
Maybe no need my speech. Unless it's necessary. I'm serious. Until now, I still like, do you really need my speech? Maybe head of departments. I still try.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are some times where when you're not needed, you ask like some other people to go on behalf.
Mm.
But you cannot run forever. we all have to like deal with it at some point. So yeah, and you know, being the MD of Universal Music Malaysia right now, like how would you know that if that person, like one of your team, is up for the game? Like how would you evaluate?
I think
Because it's very hard for a lot of corporate companies to hire people now because the turnover is really high. Not just us, like even other companies as well, like not just in the music industry or entertainment industry, like other corporates are also facing the same problem. Even me have to hire a personal assistant. It takes forever until now, so I don't have the right candidate. But for you, because the company needs to run and you have to hire somebody eventually, so how would you know if the person is up for the game?
Number one, I always think I give everyone a fair chance unless they prove me wrong. I also always say this, I always give my trust unless they prove me wrong. But sometimes, on many occasions, staff doesn't know what they're capable of. I think a lot of them, if you talk to any of them, they all know I push their limits because sometimes I can see them clearer than they can see themselves. Again, go back to the part of imposter syndrome is because everybody actually has it. In our layman terms, everybody say lack of confidence, but it's actually not true. Confidence is the other part of it, is basically you can build and train, but imposter syndrome is where you always think that I'm not good enough. So is the staff. So the staff will also always think, if you ask many of them, they will tell me, I don't think I can do it. The first word they will always tell me, do you think I can do it? I don't think I can do it. And I always say, if you never try, you never know. So because I myself experienced it, I feel as a leader, you need to be able to push the boundaries and you're able to push the part to see whether the person can do it. If the person are willing to do it, and they are committed to do it, then of course you then know they are ready for it. There is no definite answer of right or wrong. There's no definite ways of saying, this is the method that I'm going to hire, and it always work, especially in our industry. Many also have halfway through they give up because they think the job is too hard. And a lot of people always think the entertainment industry is always in the limelight. Everybody likes it. Everybody want to be part of it. But the one that really sustained in the industry for that long is not many. If you look around, it's really not many. A lot of people will say, I still want to go back to the industry. Everybody will come and tell you that, oh, you know, music industry is something that I love so much that I want to do. But at the end of the day, how much have they done? They have not left any legacy. So these are the kind of situation that I feel a lot of people tend to ignore the fact that they themselves has a lot of lack of things that they are not familiar with. And they also then don't know that they can capable in doing a lot of possible good stuff. And being a leader, you need to be able to push them, or you'll be able to push their limits to see whether how far they can go.
What about like, you know, some team members where they have been doing a great job, but then when you push their limits, they cannot deliver. Like what would you do to them or what?
My common way is I will shift them.
Shift them to a different.
Different departments. That's why you say there's a lot of changes and shift because as a leader, it's okay. I always take it as I don't keep on saying because we are not the normal corporate company. I take everybody is like a family. If you have not so good family members, do you throw them away? Do you abandon them? You don't. Unless they decided they want to leave the family. You know, I want to disown you. Instead of I say I disown them, they want to disown me. I cannot tell them, please don't disown me. I will just leave it as is. So I take it as that way. And I also always believe in if you cannot mold or groom the person, it's also the leader's fault. Don't just think that it's always the person's fault. Although a lot of people, even I myself, is one of those that will tell you, oh, Gen Z has a different mindset versus us. But I think we just need to try to understand each other. We try to listen and we try to groom from there. It's a very different method. Different ways and method of working nowadays compared to before. But
Definitely.
number one is I never think that they should be like me. I can work so many hours, I'm committed so much, I can wake up at 5:30, but that doesn't mean everybody can do the same.
Yeah.
That's the number one rules of how I see my staff. When I first started in the industry, I do have that kind of pressure that I think everybody should work like me. Everybody should work as the same heart or things like that, or else I get very frustrated with it. But nowadays, I don't. I always say, I am myself. I commit myself. I know myself very well. Different people has different way. And they have different priority in life. So,
speaking of different people with different ways, right? We touch about like how you manage your stuff, aka your family. What about artists? Like, which artist would you know, like, you want to continue the contract? Or which artist would you know, like, okay, it's time for me to let it go?
I think other people, it's very hard to explain. But with you, you have that life experience with me. Every time, I never tie you a long contract. I always tie you with a contract that we both can digest.
Yes.
Then that's when we can actually discuss and twist whatever that we need to amend in the contract to move forward.
Yes.
So that gives us room to discuss and negotiate.
Reflect.
Correct. Yeah. So it works both ways. It doesn't just work one way.
Yeah.
Today's industry, a lot of people always say that, oh, you know, record labels owns everything, but it's actually not true. If they really know how the industry is moving today, they will then come to understand. That's why someone like you will understand better because you go through this with me.
Yeah.
Every contract, we customize them differently because your needs changes every 2 years, 3 years, our needs changes. If you tell yourself 7 years ago and today you look at your three contracts, it's very much different.
Because
you want a very different needs.
Yeah, your
career path is also different.
Yeah.
So with artists, I just think that if I think that as a company I can still deliver it, then I will want to continue. But as a company, I cannot. Example, if today, which you have also said it to me before, I want to go China. What was my answer to you?
China, I think, remember you told me, like, the thing is, if I go there, you guys won't be able to help me much because our team there, for one, is like very small, and two, like, we also don't have much connection in China. And if I go there, I would probably lose everything that we have built here.
Yeah.
So it's not very practical where we cannot move forward together.
Yeah.
Like, if I can make it in China itself, then I have to do it without you guys.
Correct.
So it's not really practical. So when you told me that, I understand. That's why I didn't go.
Yeah, but if at that point of time and you insist, okay, Kim, I still want China. I don't care. I still want China. Then I'll tell you, let's not continue with the contract because I know I cannot deliver it. Although the company is globally as big, but I also think that there is always a limitation to it. I also say it's all about timing. And that makes it... I'm just being transparent in our communication. So if you ask me about artists, if an artist will always find that the company is not good enough for them, then let's not continue the contract. I hear this every time. Oh, this person is not happy. Oh, that person is not happy. Oh, the person wants to be like that person, you know. That makes it very difficult. Then I'll tell them, let's not continue because it's going to be a very painful relationship between the company and also the artist. Then I will tell the artist, please, maybe you want to, I'll let go of the contract. I've done it several times too.
Okay. Speaking of being an MD, because you're the first female MD in a company, right? In Malaysia. Like, what are the challenges?
Oh, a lot. You
know? We have time.
A lot. Our industry is still a very Boy Scout industry.
Majority of the MDs in Southeast Asia globally.
It's a Boy Scout.
It's a Boy Scout.
Yeah. So you will find a lot of challenges. That's also to change it is basically I need to sign artists that I believe and the artist has the same vision as me. Only we can move forward.
Yeah.
If I were to go into more details, if there's a different type of artist that doesn't share the same value as me, I can never sign it. Because we both will have a very different mindset. I think as a company and industry, we do change quite a fair bit already. Example, we talk about entertainment. We talk about going into different type of lifestyle. All this needs to be changed and it's not easy. Even now, a lot of people say, okay, I used to do this at that time. I used to be able to claim these bills at that time. Now we don't. So how do you deal with it? And of course, they also will tell you, oh, because you're the female, you don't need it. But that's not true.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not true. I just think that all this is, how do you call that? Skeptical mindset of how people think. Uh-huh. And that's what they think entertainment industry is all about. I receive a lot of remarks as well that people will tell you, oh, how come you become an MD? I'm like, because you don't know me. If you know me, you will understand why I become an MD. But you will have that kind of remarks around. Recently, I went to a, I won't say what event, but I went to an event. In on my table, it's all men. Mm. It's only me, one female. They all wear batiks. So, and then of course, with a female who has a tattoo, that also doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at me. They didn't really want to talk to me. And they asked me, are you from Universal Studio? I said, no, I'm from Universal Music. They have no idea what Universal Music is different and Universal Studio. And the whole time we are supposed to have this meal together, the whole time, they decided to talk among themselves.
Mm, see, that's very rude.
Today, I still face this type of situation. And then after that, when I walk out of it, I said, please make sure I don't sit in this type of table anymore.
Yeah.
So it does happen and it still happens. As much as I don't like it, but unfortunately, Malaysia will still have that kind of environment and that kind of people.
Treatment.
Yeah. And I think it's their loss for not learning about the business, and it's their loss for not knowing who I am when I sit down on the table, because they may lose the opportunity. But if I were to sit down and they will have that conversation, I believe that I may be able to bring the business better for them in their organization. Okay. So it's their miss of opportunity, the way I see it. That's why to counter it is, we don't really have to go ourselves that low to deal with it that way. I just deal with it. I always believe that one day they will understand.
Mm-hmm.
As well as today, I'm sitting here as an MD. I'm sure a lot of people also learn their ways of how they work with me back then and their mindset and their perception of me. And there is a few people that is in the industry that also feel, oh, maybe she shouldn't be the MD. You know, because they should be the MD because they are the guy. But I think I prove it enough to see the industry, and I prove it enough to bring the company to the next level. So all this is where only time will tell if whether the person is good enough. I'm sure that you face it too.
Many, many times.
Yeah. They always tell you it's not your time, or they tell you you pass your time, or it's normal. Or they will tell you, please don't sing English song, because then you'll lose your fan.
Yeah, or don't sing Malay song, or like go back to China or something like that. So for me, it's very simple. Like how I deal with scenarios like this, for me, my bottom line is very simple. If you don't respect me as a human being, doesn't matter like what I am for my status itself or my position at that point of time. Even as an artist or as a tourist or whatever, if you don't respect me as a human being, I wouldn't want to talk to you. Because for me, respect is, for me, it's the top tier, very priority thing. So that's my bottom line, that's my red flag. If they crossed it, at that moment, I won't talk to them. Because for me, like you said, I won't lower myself down trying to beg, like trying to look pity in front of you. Like I don't think I deserve that treatment. So for me, it's always about manners. Like even like in the company itself, if when there's someone new, like you did, I always give them a benefit of doubt. Like, you know, let's try working together and see how it goes. If really cannot, then okay, like, I'll just let the team know like I cannot work with that particular team or particular person. It's not because they are not good. It's just like we are not aligned. And that's it. Then no point of forcing it.
Yep.
So that's my take. So what about the newcomers who wants to work in the entertainment industry? Like, is there any like advice or like something that you want to like remind them so that they can work better and also believe themselves more?
I want to highlight a little bit more on self-value and the authenticity part, because we all have our own values in life, and I would like us all to hold the principle of it. And being original or being authentic is very important. Today, a lot of people like to, okay, I want to be K-pop because I love K-pop so much. K-pop is such a big hit, so everybody wants to be like K-pop. Then you lose the originality part of it. So in many of my talks or in many of my discussion, I always say, please be truthful to yourself. I think at the very beginning, I also mentioned this. Don't try to be someone that you're not, because then you can't sustain it as your skill or as yourself. And being a female, especially the young female that's going to the industry, I also always say, please keep your value and don't lose that value of yours for anything. Don't exchange it for anything else.
Anything that you feel like you don't agree with, or like you have to make your stand when there's like, you know, you feel like it's not part of your job to deliver it or like to compromise.
There's still a lot of people in nowadays, I thought there isn't any anymore, but a lot of times people also just tell me that actually the recent encounter, someone told me before that in order to sign the contract, she needs to do X certain things. And I think I didn't expect that to come from in nowadays generation, but seems it's still happening. There's still a lot of people that scam and try to be your managers, and they'll tell you, okay, in order for me to connect you to this MD or things like that, you need to do certain things for me. And I think those are the kind of things I would like to highlight, that it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. Please don't fall into this type of scam. And this needs to be something that everybody needs to be aware. Don't exchange yourself for anything.
I think this matters, even though it's more serious towards girls. I think guys should be...
Same.
It's the same for guys. Yes.
I know that there are a lot of those industry, for acting and things like that, they do that too. Yeah. So that's why, since we have this opportunity, I want to highlight it a little bit on this, because sometimes we tend to ignore it, or it's something that we don't discuss openly. But I like to highlight that yes, don't let all this becomes...
a norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't let those bastards get in their way. I mean, like, get their way of doing things, lah. Mm. I mean, like, it's not ethical. So you have to protect yourself first before you can be successful in the industry. Like, you don't have to lower yourself down to chase your dreams. There are so many other ways that you can do it. And if you believe in yourself enough, one day you'll make it with... or without them, because people just don't understand all these conditions. But nowadays with like, you know, Google and stuff, it's not just happening to you. It's like a lot of people are facing the same thing. So I feel like this awareness needed to be acknowledged. And also like, if you have it, there's nothing wrong with it. So you just need to acknowledge, like Kim said, and try to find a way to counter it. And so that you don't feel bad about yourself, because this is just... human being. Yeah, this is a condition. Like, you know, having a flu, if you know how to treat it, then you'll be fine. So yeah, thank you so much for coming today, and we shared quite a bit. And don't forget to stay tuned to Are You Okay podcast, because we are coming live every by Wednesday at 9 p.m. on YouTube and also Spotify. And I'll see you next time.